When I started the business, I was a dishwasher, I was a cook, I was a manager, I was an employee, I was everything, right? Then when you, this is going to sound a little bit silly, but believe me, it's true. When you are growing, you are probably doing kind of the same things or thinking the same way, that you are a dishwasher, you are this, you are that, blah, blah. No, you need to grow with the business.
Welcome to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is a show about world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. Whether it's mountain biking with a client or enjoying craft beer with colleagues at the office, business in Colorado is special. Past shows, my Audible book list, and newsletter subscriber sign-up are available at proco360.com. Subscribe to the podcast via your app. Just search ProCo 360. In this episode, I'll be speaking with Lorena Cantaravici, founder and CEO of Maria Empanada. Maria is from Argentina and wanted to replicate the authentic empanadas of her home country. Well, she's done that and is now selling her renowned products via three Maria Empanada locations and 14 other retail outlets. Maria Empanada has been named by Zagat as one of the hottest bakeries in the nation, and Guy Fieri featured Maria Empanada on drive-ins, diners, and dives. I'm really looking forward to learning more about Lorena's journey. Lorena, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado.
Thank you, Dave, for having me here.
I'm looking forward to this conversation, and in fact, I mentioned to Maria, Lorena.
Everybody does that. Yeah, don't worry.
Mentioned Maria is your mother, and we'll hear a little bit more about that. But I mentioned to Lorena that I stopped by Maria Empanada and really enjoy the products. So this is going to be a fun interview. First,
thank
though,
you.
I want to thank show sponsors. Community Banks of Colorado, they go big for small business. They've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for Colorado entrepreneurs. Also, MicroStar Keg Logistics. These guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar is a Colorado company that helps craft brewers expand by handling the logistics of keg distribution. So here we go. Lorena, are you ready?
Yes,
good.
I am.
Good. I wanted to start by asking you to give us a quick overview about Maria Empanada. But first, I think there's a better one that I'm going to cue Luke up. Go ahead and play clip one, Luke.
So I'm here on South Broadway, about 10 minutes from downtown Denver, Colorado, to check out a joint with a great story. Now, check this out. The chef, she came from Buenos Aires, Argentina, 12 years ago. Now, she's got an empanada empire. This is Maria Empanada.
All right, so from Food Network, did Guy have it right? Tell us about Maria Empanada.
Every time that I hear that, it makes my skin like a chicken.
So did he get it right? Do you have an empanada empire now going on?
I think I do, and that's what I want. So I love when he said that.
Oh, neat.
So yes, Maria Empanada started for me making empanadas at home, basically in my little kitchen, then moving to a little area of the garage. And then thanks for the push of a few friends, they told me, okay, I think it's time for you to move from the garage. And believe me, that was the hardest part, you know, giving that first step and opening the doors of a small location in Lakewood.
Yeah, now, so many food entrepreneurs, and I've interviewed Beryl Stafford, you may know her from Bobo's Oat Bars, or the Reimers from Jackson's Honest. They start by sort of creating a product for themselves, for their family or whatever, and then people say, oh, you should sell it, you should turn it into a business. But you seem to have started Maria Empanada determined to create a business, right?
Yes, yes.
So do you think it's harder to do that knowing that you're a first-time entrepreneur who's starting a business on purpose but not really knowing what you're doing versus doing it accidentally?
Well, I think when you start researching, you need to, and you are seeing that the idea is starting to have a form, it's very important that even though you are small, you're thinking big. So for me, that was very clever. Mm. Just to let you know, I started in my little location in Lakewood with the first day with an employee manual, even with three pages, you know. So thinking in big, even that you are small.
You know, that's interesting. You know, comes to mind is I interviewed Tom Ryan, who is the CEO of Smashburger. And, you know, his whole thing was, that it takes experience, it takes savvy to think about the future when you're a startup entrepreneur. But how did you figure that out? How did you decide you needed to be thinking about that when you very first started?
Well, one of the first things that it was probably against my culture is going out and talk about it, about my project, okay? What I want to say about this is because in my culture, you don't talk of your project until it's done, until you have the key of the business, until you open those doors. So nobody knows before because just it's cultural. But this time I tried to do something different and I say, no, let's try it another way. And I start going outside and talking to people, talking to another restaurant owners, asking questions. What did they do right? What did they do wrong? What do I need to learn from that? And that was probably putting me in another perspective and making that the business start to have a form. And I'm a person that I write everything because I know that I remember today, but probably tomorrow not. So I have the records of that. And that was very, very clever. So if I travel and I go to an empanada place, I go and do my research. I see everything. And then I do in notes and put it on my computer and go after that if I have to.
Well, that sounds like a smart way to approach it, even though it was different from the cultural aspects of how you were raised, that you still probably had some incredibly frustrating times as you were starting. And you told, I read in an article, a great story about this this notion of the exploding empanadas. Yeah, so tell us about that, because I'm asking you for a specific reason, but tell the story about that first.
Well, I need to tell you, corn empanada was one of the most difficult to make and one of the best ones. Even Guy Fieri loved that one. And so I was having an order for a friend of mine of 24 empanadas for next day. And I needed to deliver it like around 9 a.m. in the morning. So I start cooking in the night and I start like around 8 p.m. after the kids has put it in bed and all that. So every time that I was put them in the oven, they were so beautiful. But when I was taking them out, they were all exploded. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's try another time. So I put another tray. When I take it out, again exploded. Okay, so if I'm telling you from 8 p.m., this event occurs until 2 or 3 a.m. So at 2 a.m. in the morning, me with my husband there, he was telling me, oh, come on, this time will be okay. I mean, and at the same time, we were trying different techniques,
well,
of course.
Well, you have to, yeah.
So when I take that tray out and I see, first, oh my God, at 2 a.m. in the morning that they were exploded again, all of them, not even one I can take from there. I just grab one empanada, I throw it in the window and I say, why you are doing this to me? What did I do to you? If you are fantastic, why you are doing this to me? So I continue probably until 5 a.m. in the morning that I was able to collect those 12 corn empanadas in a good way, how exactly I want them.
Well, you know, the reason I love that story is because it's a good illustration, I think, of the kind of getting your hands dirty persistence that an entrepreneur just has to do. I remember when I had my business, that sleeping on the floor because data was transferring and I had to wake up every 30 minutes to make sure that the data hadn't stopped transferring because of it. This is what you do.
Yes. It's clever. I mean, I think it's persistence. That's one example that time was so frustrating. Now we laugh about it, but there is every single day one of those corn empanadas that appear, you know, everything, always there's a frustration. I mean, you have your best employee, you think everything is going right, and then, oh my God, he's telling you, I'm leaving. I mean, that's a corn empanada exploded, you know?
Yeah.
So persistent and continuing. Mm-hmm. And if you love what you do, if you have passion with what you do, nothing will stop you.
Now, as you took all those notes from all the people you talked to as you were starting your business, what one thing, now that time has gone by, what one thing do you wish you had known when you started that you just didn't?
Well, I think one of the important ones is try to get a mentor, you know, somebody that can assist you in this moment. That person is not going to be your husband or wife, is not going to be a friend. It's going to be somebody that was in the business or is in the business and probably will meet with you for 1 hour or two without charge. I mean, just as a friendly talk like we are having right now. And he's going to tell you, well, this is what I will do. And when you hear from somebody that had the kind of that experience and things like that, you learn a lot. And that was something that I didn't believe it or I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. But now I do have 6 mentors and I feel fantastic about it.
Well, and they probably love being fed while they give
yes, I think I know why they have me, but
well, if you you've been listening, we appreciate that you're listening to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. I'm your host, and this is the show featuring world-class entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm speaking with Lorena Cantiovici of Maria Empanada. So thanks. I'm glad you've joined me. I want to keep talking about product development for a little while, Lorena.
Let's do it.
And when did you decide, because you spent a lot of time on product development, when did you decide you were sort of ready to move on and just grow the business?
Well, the product, I think I was ready when I knew that it is exactly how I wanted. Those first 2 years in Lakewood, in my small location, was kind of like a laboratory for me. Mm-hmm. I was testing things. I was testing my recipes and I was testing the customer. Oh my goodness, you don't have an idea. Now you have people that comes to you and of course everybody knows what to do, right? Mm-hmm. And they tell you, you know what you should do? You should put rice with your empanada so you can create a plate. I mean, they want to be nice and all that. You need to be firm that your product is going to be exactly how you want it and don't get confused with those things.
But that's kind of interesting because you also want to listen if there's useful feedback. So how do you decide, right? When you're right and you're going to be stubborn or you're just being stubborn and it's going to hurt you?
Yes. Well, let me tell you, that door that it took me a while to open in Lakewood, it didn't open so much for those 2 years. Mm. So we were suffering. I mean, sales were low. I mean, nobody knew it was an empanada. Somebody that opened the doors and say, okay, can I have a tamale? So it was so frustrated. But so then is when you hear people that tells you, you know what, I will do this, I will put beans, I will do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, if I will react to those, it will be desperation. So it will not be my product. It will be the result of a desperation action for people to come back. But what I decided is to stick with my cultural product, mm-hmm. with what I really want. And I'm not putting cilantro, I'm not putting beans, and I'm not putting rice. I mean, this is an Argentinian style empanada. So the message here is once you know what you want, stay with that. Even that probably will be a sacrifice. It will take time for people to know and that. I mean, you need to be staying with what you're saying.
Well, that's interesting because one of the things I noticed about your growth is that while it's been fast, it hasn't been explosive. And it seems like you've got a pace that you're comfortable with. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I'm a person that I love to test everything. I mean, so I'm love to go slow and to try that everything goes well. The business is not only your product, right? The business is your management. The business is your people. The business is your kitchen. The business is your provider. The business is your clientele. So there are a lot of things, ingredients in that recipe of your business. So I am a person that I love to make sure that every single ingredient is in the right place with the right quantity.
And I think what I'm hearing you say is that as much as you love the product of an Argentinian empanada, it's really the business that you're building, not a product.
Yes, it goes together, of course.
Yes.
But the business is the idea, and that's then comes what I'm telling you, that is the thinking big.
Yeah, and now you started, your background was as an accountant and a
yes.
banker.
Yes.
And then you got a master's degree in marketing.
Yes.
Which is more useful? Is the business side this being an accounting thinker, or have you had to change gears to become a marketing thinker?
Well, I love all of those. I really like
that's
to,
unusual.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you think to love accounting and I mean
yes.
most people who love marketing just assume
just,
pay
yeah.
pay somebody to do accounting. I don't want to see it. I just want the report. Yeah.
But as the owner, you need to be involved in every single area of your business. So that's key. So it's important that maybe I don't do the numbers, of course, and now I have help for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have help for marketing. I used to do everything. You can't do everything. If you want to grow, you need to have help. So it's very important that anyways that you don't have the help, you are involved in every single area and you know what is going on. So I love to see the numbers of my business. I love to make questions about it. And I love somebody that makes marketing and put things and execute faster than if mm-hmm. I will do it by myself.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that you've done to grow is you've partnered with government for funding. And when I read about that, and you've done it three times. Well, SBA kind of not. But the first time you did, you got a $63,000 microloan. Then you got a six-figure SBA loan. And most recently, $3.5 million from the Colorado Colorado Impact Fund. And I thought, you know, when I had my own business, the notion of partnering with the government is just, it just didn't connect with me. How have you managed to do that?
Well, I think it's fantastic that we can have in this country all this opportunity. I mean, I need to tell you that I come from a country that you don't have this kind of help. You don't have this kind of resources. You are in your own, basically. And having here the opportunity that a bank give you a loan, even if I need to have a present a lot of paperwork because it's an SBA loan, I mean, I'm so glad that that happened because they are believing in me, and that means a lot. So it's not only just the money, it's the meaning and somebody that can, I mean, a bank or an organization like the SBA is giving to you is because they are betting on you. And that is a fantastic feeling for an entrepreneur. Mm. You are not alone.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a moment some more. You're listening to ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm speaking with Lorena Cantarovici, founder and CEO of Maria Empanada. She just gave me a thumbs up for pronouncing her name correctly.
Yay.
Yeah. So, hey, please visit proco360.com where you can subscribe to my newsletter. It has news about upcoming episodes. It has my blog, which is short, but it gets you thinking, and books I'm listening to on Audible. Again, that's proco360.com. I hope you'll, if you're enjoying this episode, you'll share it with friends. And getting back to Lorena and the work you've done with government agencies, really, I mean, did you find that they were helpful beyond the money and the sense that they believed in you?
Yes, absolutely. In the first loan that I received, that it was not an SBA, it was through another nonprofit organization that is Colorado Impact, Colorado Enterprise Funds.
That was $63,000, which probably then seemed like a lot
yes,
of money.
Yes, for me it was a lot. But when they gave that money to Maria Empanada, it wasn't only that. It was after a few weeks, I got a meeting with a marketing director from the organization, and they even prepared a kind of marketing plan for me that I, few things after that I execute. So somebody was preparing a marketing plan for me. Remember, at that time, it was only me.
Yeah.
So it was incredible. Then if I have questions regarding anything that has to do, how should I start the liquor license? How should I do this? I mean, simple or maybe complex questions, you call them and you have kind of like a friend, you know, they direct you, they guide you, they support you. I mean, they want you to pay back. So.
Yeah, of course. So my preconceived notion is that people in those scenarios, in those situations of the government, don't have hands-on experience the way you have hands-on experience. But it sounds like they were really useful to you in the advice they provided and
yes.
the help they provided. And I think that's really good to hear.
And what is important is maybe what you're saying, yes, I am a CPA, so I know numbers. I have a master in marketing, so probably I know all that kind of marketing things. But if you don't know them, that can't prevent you. I mean, you don't need to have all these things to be an entrepreneur. There's a lot of help from the government, from the city, from the state, where you can take programs and learn how to do a business plan. I did it. I didn't know what was a business plan. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know all the research that you need to do. So taking advantage of all the programs that the city and the state provide, I mean, those are very, not too much money, and it's good.
Well, that's very good to hear, and I think listeners will appreciate that a lot coming from you. So as you mentioned continuing to learn, and you've got a master's degree in marketing. Is there a lesson that you learned from your master's degree in marketing that you can think, I'm applying this to my business today? And one of them may be hiring Victor, who's sitting over there. Thanks, Victor. But is there a lesson from marketing that you actually are applying?
Specifically for marketing, I can tell you that the best thing that I learned is that you need to go for help. So when you can't do more for yourself, you need to hire somebody that help you. Marketing is very important in your business. You need to, and another very important thing is you need to be consistent. So consistent with the image, consistent with the way that you communicate and you explain to your customer what is your product.
Yeah. Now you continue to learn. I've read some things that, you've gone to seminars, you've done some other things to keep learning. Talk about that.
Yes, there are a lot of programs available for once you are in this road, right? I mean, don't be inside of your office. Go outside and continue feeding yourself in how you can increase your business. It's the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program that is available for you. It is another Latino, in my case, Latino business leadership program also in Stanford. There are a lot of programs like that they want to put you in the next level.
And you're
level.
Doing those, right?
I did those,
And I think what's so interesting about that is that as part of your growing the business, you're growing yourself. You're not just working harder. You're not just working at the business.
Absolutely.
But you continue to study and learn.
Well, that's something that I learned just in the hard way, right? When I started the business, I was a dishwasher. I was a cook. I was the manager. I was an employee. I was everything, right? This is going to sound a little bit silly, but believe me, it's true. When you are growing, you are probably doing kind of the same things or thinking in the same way that you are a dishwasher, you are this, you are that, that, that. No, you need to grow with the business. Your mindset needs to grow with the business. And that's part of these kind of programs that doesn't take you in the same way. It makes you grow with the business. Your mindset.
Yep,
I mean,
yep.
Now I'm a CEO, I'm founder. And
you don't feel like you're the empanada maker, chief empanada maker anymore. Now you feel like you're a CEO.
Yes,
That's a shift, isn't it?
It is a shift.
Was it hard for you?
Yes. It was hard on me because I have this attitude that I look like, sometimes I sound like a kid. And you don't want your employees to see you like this. So you need to make a change. And it doesn't mean that change your personality. It means it changed your position. Mm-hmm. And it was probably that's one of the things that I suffered.
That's interesting. Did your mentor help you with that?
Yes.
Because I think that's all CEOs go through that. Because when you're individual and you're the only person, maybe you have one other person, it's very easy to be hands-on doing things and running things.
Yeah.
But then when you start developing a team of people, they shift.
I mean, it's very important when you see a guy with a white, I don't know how to say, uniform. I mean, you know he's a doctor and you treat him in a way, right? Because he's the doctor. Yeah, you treat him a different way. So it's exactly the same. in my way, I'm still using my t-shirt that says Maria Empanada with a sheen.
Yeah.
So I need to show, I can wear some things like that. I mean, I need to show that I'm the owner. If not, it's different, you know. It's hard to build a team. It's hard to work with people when you are as an owner and you are being a model at the same time. You are a leader.
Yeah.
So I can be crossing from the front of the door to my little office with my cell phone in my hands, because if I do that, everybody will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody to use cell phones.
That's right.
So you need to be a model.
Well, I want to shift gears for our last few minutes here, and I want to do it by replaying. Luke, can you play that clip, please?
So I'm here on South Broadway, about 10 minutes from downtown Denver, Colorado, to check out a joint with a great story. Now, check this out. The chef, she came from Buenos Aires, Argentina, 12 years ago. Now, she's got an empanada empire. This is Maria Empanada.
Do you like it?
Little more than like.
Oh, I like you too.
So I added a little bit at the end there because he does like your empanadas. But, you know, I wanted to replay that clip, Lorena, because you've become sort of a media darling. You've gotten some fame. You're getting articles. She's making a funny face because I use that word. But, you know, is that, first of all, how does that feel?
Well, I feel proud, and I feel proud. I come from a very, very low class family in Argentina. It was so hard living there. I was something that guy didn't say is that I came with $300 in my pocket and just a backpack, trying to have a better life. So having now Maria Empanada and receiving all this, it means a lot to me. One of the other important things is I saw suffering my mom, who raised me a lot, from not having a job. So that's how my country was at that time. And was me from early years supporting the house. So now being me in this side of the desk and putting giving jobs to people, and knowing that now I have 30 people that depends on my business, it is making my heart exploding, like, but with emotion.
I can see the look in your eyes that it's important for you.
For me, that's very, very important. And I love to make my team proud of where they are, and always thinking of them, and try to give the right tools to make them help. To make them grow, and for me, it's an experience that I'm so glad when I made that silly determination at that time of just grabbing a backpack and say bye to everybody, my family, my friends, my country, and say, you know what, I don't want this for me. So I'm so glad when I made that decision. That was so hard for so many, many, many years, Dave. I'm very proud. I'm very proud.
Mm. Well, I think that's probably a good note on which to end our conversation today. And I'm Dave Tabor, your host on ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. And I've been speaking with Lorena Cantarovici, founder of Maria Empanada. Lorena, it has been awesome talking to you about your journey.
Thank you so much.
You've had such a thoughtful approach. And I hope that listeners will not just listen once, but twice for inspiration for their businesses.
I hope so too. This is just to empower them.
Well, thank you. And to our audience, thanks for joining me on ProCo 360's Pro Business Colorado. This is Dave Tabor. My mission is to feature world-class entrepreneurs like Lorena, who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. You can help by subscribing to the podcast via your app. Reviewing the show would be really helpful, and by subscribing to the ProCo 360 newsletter. Thanks again. Lorena, I saw Victor speaking with you. Is there anything to add? Are we adding anything? He's going to take a photo. Okay. Hey, thanks again to show sponsors MicroStar Keg Logistics, Community Banks of Colorado, and Jones and Keller, and to my producer, Luke Woodruff. This show and past shows are available at proco360.com and via your favorite podcast app. Search ProCo 360. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sharing. Bye.